Hello. This is wild. I'm Joshua Weir, for those of you who don't know. And I mean, there's a couple visitors, so I am the senior pastor. And I've been on a sabbatical for 3 months, so this is my first Sunday back. Thank you. I mean, it's a trip. I can't believe it's been 3 months. Does it seem like it's been 3 months? I mean, it's it's gone fast for us. We've traveled a lot. We went up to Michigan. We've got a beautiful, if you know where Traverse City is, we've got some friends who let us use their cabin up there right on the lake. It's absolutely beautiful. So as a family, we went up there. And then we went up to, a couple weeks later, we went to Lakeside. If anybody knows what Lakeside is, there is a person there who lets us use their cottage for free. So we were up there for several days. That was awesome. And then we went down to Florida to my brother and sister-in-law's, hung out down there a little bit. My kids stayed there for 10 days. Nellie and I left them and went back up to Atlanta, and we went to a pastor's retreat specifically for pastors who've been senior pastors for like 10, or I think 7 years is the limit. And there was only 7 other couples. There were 14 either full-time pastors or had been full-time pastors who were there just as mentors and coaches and counselors, just to love on us because we were a bunch of beat-up pastors. So, it was really, really good. Really good for me personally, really good for Nellie personally, really good for us together. So that was really good. And came back, and we've not traveled anywhere for the last couple weeks. So... So let me pray before I just kind of jump in. I'm just going to be sharing stories today. It's not going to be your typical Sunday. It's not going to be a typical message. I'm just going to be sharing my heart, kind of bringing you into my journey really over the last 3 months, but really over the last several years. So it'll kind of be a bit of an open book. So Father, thank you just for the grace that is just available right now. Thank you for your goodness to every person in this room. Father, whether we're aware of it or not, you are good. And so I just declare that your goodness manifests in every situation when we look for you, Lord. And so, Father, we just declare that you are good. And I invite your presence just to be upon me, upon just the sharing of my heart with your people. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be present in this place to do what you do. Just to release your ministry and your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody heard of Blaise Pascal?
Yes.
Real brilliant guy. I'm always bad with dates, but I think 1800s. Anybody? All right. You know, he was a mathematician. He was a scientist. He was a philosopher. He was just crazy, crazy brilliant. Ended up converting to Christ, fell away from Christ, and then came back on fire. And he, just one of these guys that's like deep thinker. He accomplished tons of stuff. If you've been through geometry, you've heard of, I don't know, Pascal's theorem or something like that. And he's just done all kinds of stuff like that. The dude died at 39. So he had all this, I mean, many people have heard of Pascal. He died at 39, which is like this guy, this kind of impact in this short of a life. But, he has all kinds of great things to say, but here's one thing he said. All of humanity's problems, it's interesting when someone who's brilliant gives you kind of a boiled down, this is how I see everything statement. You're like, I want to listen to that. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. That would be the phrase over the last 3 months, sabbatical. Sabbatical, you know, so Nellie and I have been pastoring for 11 years, and I also have a construction company. And so we decided, actually we didn't decide, God kind of put it in our hearts, come around the early part of the summer that we were to take a sabbatical. And I would say it was God's ordaining a time just to sit, I mean, sometimes literally in my room alone, but just to be able to quiet my heart, quiet my mind, and just be able to hear what the Father has been saying for a time, But you sometimes need to slow the engine down to really key in to what he's actually saying. Anybody know that experience? And you realize, oh, he's been saying this all along. Like that, when that happened, that's what he was saying. And when that happened, that's what he was saying. Well, sometimes we have to just slow it down. And then we key into, oh, the Father's been speaking for months and actually years. Don't quite know how to say it other than to say it and then to unpack it. Over the last 3 months, what's become really clear is that I'm not to come back as a senior pastor of the Village Vineyard. It's had no intentions of that. That wasn't like the plan on anybody's radar. Well, it was on the Father's, but it wasn't on anybody's radar at the beginning of the sabbatical. The sabbatical was truly a three-month time of resting and just taking a break and refueling. But over the course of the 3 months, a lot unpacked and became clear. And so what I'm going to try to do in a condensed, majorly compressed way is kind of bring you in on that journey. And so the first part of it is I'm just going to share with you my heart and kind of what God's been doing in me. And then I want to begin to transition, and Brad will come up, and I want to talk about what it's looked like for the transition between he and I and just the leadership and the village, what we believe God is doing here in this church. So, amen? All right. Let me say this. If you are visiting and you're like, man, this is a bummer I came on this Sunday because I don't really care about hearing this guy's, story. Let me say this. Transition is a part of life. Every one of us in this room is actually in transition right now. It could be a small transition. I mean, there's all kinds of transitions that are going on. Sometimes it's a big transition, like stepping down from being a senior pastor and in vocational ministry for 14 years. Or it's a big transition like you're leaving the job that you had for 5 years, or you're graduating from college or high school, or you're having a new child, or you have decided that you're going to start getting up early in the morning rather than late. I mean, there's little small transitions that affect, and there's really big transitions that have multiple effects. What we tend to not be very good at is going through significant transitions. What our tendency is to do is to blow by kind of these significant kind of epic events and seek to kind of get beyond it so that we can get to the next thing. The problem is we can't really enter fully into the next thing without transitioning well. Does that make sense? We have to understand that God has created it this way. A, he created seasons. You guys know what seasons are? We're getting ready to enter into winter. Make no mistake. I mean, this weather's been awesome, but we're going to enter into hardcore cold. It's a season. There's something beautiful about seasons. It's kind of sad, like, oh, it's sad for fall to go. It's really sad for summer to leave. But it's also sweet when fall comes. It's sad when fall leaves, but it's good that winter's coming because, my kids, they love winter. Because my son Jonathan said it best. He's like, man, I love the winter. I'm like, really? Why? I figured, sledding. He said, we've got Thanksgiving, then we've got Christmas, and then we've got my birthday. And then, it was good. I was like, dude, that's awesome. That's a great way to, because a lot of people I hear complain about winter. But anyways, digressing. So life is full of transitions, whether it's the seasons, whether it's our lives, whether it's, anyways, I think you guys get the point. But we going back to what Blaise Pascal said, is that we have a tendency to hook ourselves up so fully to whatever it may be to keep us going, keep the engine going, that we don't actually pay attention to our own kind of selves, to what the Spirit is saying, to what the people around us are saying, because we're so busy. We're going from thing to thing. We're going from whatever it is, but we don't slow down and just simply say, okay, Father, what are you saying? What are you doing in this small, medium, or really big transition? So I hope that just in me sharing some of my story, it'll be something that helps you as it relates to your story. Real quick, I'm gonna buzz through this. I had a dream in early fall of 2008. In the dream, the most dramatic kind of prophetic dream I've ever had. In the dream, I walked into this conference, was there late, showed up, got to the back row, or second to last row. The lady speaker comes up and points at me and says, Joshua, on March 19th, you are going to be thrown into the fire. And then I woke up. I was like,
whoa, what was that?
Well, I happened to be in a little leadership gathering where Graham Cook, if you know who he is, he's a real prophetic guy. He was in this little thing. And so I decided to be the annoying person, went up to him and said, hey, I had this dream. And would you have an interpretation? He's like, no, I don't have an interpretation. But what I do know is I have a conference that's going to be starting March 19th of next year. You should come. Well, it was out in California. And Natalie and I were out there. We flew back here. We decided, you know what? That dream was so strong. We're just going to go back. Well, I was awakened on March 19th to something pressing into my shoulder. It was like, I thought it was on my kids. I woke up and looked and nobody was there. And I felt like, and I don't know, but it felt like an angel or something had just woken me up. So I'm thinking, man, this is going to be awesome. Thrown into the fire is going to be awesome. I'm thinking revival. And my wife, being a little wiser than I was, she was like, I don't know if I like the sound of that. I'm like, babe, don't worry about it. The fire is going to be, it's going to be good, you know? The fire is good. Well, really, truth be told, is the fire, nothing happened. We were at the conference. I shouldn't say nothing happened. We ended up meeting Mark Crawford for the second time. For those of you who know him, he's from Australia, and he's really connected to us, and he's been real influential over the last 3 years. But we connected with him in a real significant way, and it was obvious that he was going to be an integral part of our moving forward. So that, I thought, okay, I guess that was it. In reflecting, I realized the fire had already started. March 19th of the following year, the fire would kind of hit the apex, so to speak. We had a big church gathering, and it was just a real kind of dramatized. It was just a real kind of bad meeting, to say the least. It was just there was a lot of stuff going on in the church, and it was basically kind of a fry session for myself. And I didn't even realize that it was March 19th when it was happening. And the next morning, a couple other people said, do you realize last night was March 19th? I was like, oh. Well, in reflecting, what I've realized is I've kind of been in the fire for about 3 years. And again, this isn't a sob story at all, but this is just to give you kind of an idea of what myself and my wife and my children have kind of been involved with. In 2008, my business, I have a construction company, we'd kind of hit the pinnacle we almost went bankrupt. We almost lost everything. I can boil that down and say we were, as a company, $500,000 in debt. Most of which was to family and friends. So declaring bankruptcy really isn't an option, right? Unless you don't want to see your family and friends anymore. So that was in 2008. That same year, we also got a diagnosis with my son, my youngest son. And at first, they thought it was a brain tumor and all kinds of stuff. It was just like, what is going on? I mean, literally hundreds of hours of meeting with neurologists and doctors and therapies and all this stuff to figure out, okay, we end up finding out it was hemiplegia, which just means the right side of his body is going to need therapy for years unless God really heals it. 2009, we had kind of a long-awaited, we'd really been preparing and excited about having a baby. I didn't think I had any more emotion around that one. So in 2009, we had a miscarriage, and the pressure of the business was just... And so, 2009, I've got a brother back there named Everett Thompson, and he, our company, we had to let everybody go because we couldn't pay anybody. We were $500,000 in debt, and my longtime friend, and he was my secondhand man in the company, stayed on, no pay, for a year and a half. But it was intense. When you're in it, Blaze was smart. When you're in it, you're usually so in it, you're not quieting yourself down to realize how intense and how painful it really is. But it was so stressful. Knowing that, you know, all this money in our business, we were losing. And we were at points losing $25,000 a month. We had 6 houses on the market. I mean, it was so bad. So it's 2009. 2010 is when We had a major church fallout. Over the course of about a year, lost about half the church. My body started doing all kinds of funky things. I went into doctor, got MRIs to figure out what was going on. It was just stress related. And then we entered into 2011, which was like kind of the coming down year. It's been kind of the, And the fire, I would say, is still burning. But it's not a blaze. It's more of like embers. And I don't see any of these events like God did these things. I don't actually see him as doing it. Some of these were my stupid mistakes. Some of them were just bad economy. It's not God doing these things. But God uses the circumstances of our life to burn out and to burn in the things that he wants. The fire of God is a wonderful thing. Painful. But honestly, I wouldn't reverse the last 3 years. I would love to play, armchair quarterback and say, well, if I would have done this, and there's a lot of if I would have done, things wouldn't have gone a certain way. But it's just like the goodness of God is not dependent upon our right or wrong actions. The goodness of God is always available. And I love, that one of my core promises is he causes all things to work together for good. So in this, okay, I got my clock here, so we're good. So in this, my family has just taken some hits. We didn't know. It's again, in it, don't really realize it. For me, if you would have asked me, if you would have asked me in 2007, I think that's when OSU got defeated by Texas. The reason it sounds really weird, I'm not really into football that much, but when I do watch it, I really enjoy it. And in that year, Vince Young, right, Joe? Okay, thanks. Vince Young was the star quarterback and defeated the Buckeyes. It was really cool. And I remember laying in bed that night, and everyone was, mad Vince Young. I remember laying in bed that night and just thinking, and this will sound weird, you guys will probably get this, but I was just thinking, if I could, it'd be really cool to be Vince Young, like the man, and everyone. And I was honestly laying there thinking, there's no other place I would rather be. There's nothing else I would rather do. I was at the pinnacle of my calling. I felt like I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. I wouldn't want to be doing anything other than I'm doing. I want to be pastoring. I want to be leading this company. I want to be living in this house that I'm living in. All of that. That's where I was. But in that time frame, as you can see, things begin to happen that were just natural and circumstantial, but also stuff started happening in my own heart. And part of what began happening, again, unknown to me, it's just kind of the cost to my family. I have three wonderful kids, Caleb, Jonathan, and Tay, sitting right there. And they're all wonderful. I get compliments on them all the time. They're just beautiful kids, love their mom and their dad, they're precious. And they love God. But if I'm honest, there's so much more I could be giving to my kids. And it's not brow. I'm not browbeating myself, but it's like, I was filling out an application for Jonathan to play basketball, and I said, sign here and put your name if you're interested in being a coach. And I put my name there because I knew I could do it. I knew I'd have time to do it. And I knew I had heart and desire to do it. I wouldn't have even considered it a year ago. And I would have, and I'm not saying that's like the sign of being a good dad, because it's not. Who cares, really? But to me, it marked something. I want to be able to give my best to my kids. My daughter is 15. She just turned 15. I'm thinking I got 3-4, years. And again, this isn't like all, but it's real. She's going to be going on into her life. And I just want to have the space, both emotionally and time, to be able to give to her and to my sons. My marriage,
We've taken some major hits. And the
fault lines of those hits, those kind of the effects of those hits, we didn't really notice, really, until really this last year. And so we are in a place of we need healing. We are we're just not on the same page at all. And so we're just in a place of my wife needs time. I need time. We need time. We need healing. So that's the sad stuff. Let me say this. Although everything I just said is true, you know, this is God's doing this. As I've kind of just been reflecting and thinking, I remember, and again, I'm not really great with dates, but it was over 3 years ago when I began like saying, "Hey," I remember actually standing in here feeling guilty beyond guilty because someone was asking me if I would do their wedding, and I was just saying, "If I say yes, I am such a phony." Because I knew I had done several weddings up to that point, and I was loving doing them. But I had been realizing that's just one example that I didn't want to do weddings anymore. And then there were other things I just didn't want to do. And this is when things were going well. This isn't like things hadn't really hit the fan. But as I've been reflecting and thinking about when I 2007 or wherever that was, moving on, I just started having less and less desire to do a lot of the things that senior pastors do. And so I tried to reconfigure and reorient and redraw lines, and you know, and I just came to realize I don't want to be a senior pastor anymore. And that's when I just dialoguing with other people that giftings, callings are irrevocable without a question. I'm not questioning my calling. I'm not giving up on my gifts at all. But they transition. They change. The application of them change. Peter had a great analogy, you know, someone who's an assistant teacher then becomes a teacher. Then the teacher, if they're gifted and maybe really administrative, maybe becomes a assistant principal or whatever that is. And then you kind of transition, and that's what's going on. And as I've been reflecting and realizing, wow, there's a significant transition going on in me. I had someone, a close friend who had this, and he's not a very, how do I say this without being rude? He's not like... He's not into like the prophetic and you know that kind of stuff at all. Well, he was taking a shower one day and just got blasted by God, where he said he was weeping so uncontrollably that he thought maybe something was going wrong with his body. And in that, the Lord spoke to him, and basically, long story short, he came to me and said, "Dude, you're supposed to like take a break, and I think a long break, and maybe not come back." And this was like some summertime. I was like, "What?" But I listened to it because it was really significant what he was saying. I was like, okay, just kind of shelf that. But it helped me to start thinking about, okay, I know that I'm called, and I know I want to stay kind of in ministry per se, but right now, I don't want to be in full-time ministry. I don't want to lead a church. And not because I'm just worn out, but there's not a grace. The grace has been lifting, again, if I'm honest, for several years. I'm going to jump ahead. One last quick thing before just kind of talking about transition for Brad and I in this church. My business, you know, so back in 2007, 2008, really a difficult time. 2009 was also really difficult, but we began to really turn the whole thing around. 2010 was really our first real year of like, wow, we're actually a viable making money company. So we had made a little in 2009. 2010, we pretty much doubled what we made then. 2009, we made our first bit of money. 2010, we doubled that. 2011, we've doubled what we did last year. And then 2012 looks like it's going to double what we did this year. And so God's hand is on Transform in a wonderful way. And I say that to say this. It's so beautiful to know I can just be honest. The leadership can be honest about is it a time? Is this a time for Joshua to transition out of this role and not have to be worried about, well, what am I going to do for my family financially? The business for the first time is in a position to actually be able to pay me. I had a pastor about a year and a half ago give me a prophetic word. He didn't know who it was for. He was driving to this pastor's breakfast. And the prophetic word was, tell this person, some pastor, to not quit their job. Because they're going to need that freedom, that if they need to step out of ministry, they're going to need that job. And that was the word he had for me. I'm like, okay, cool. You know? Well, now I'm reflecting back like, wow, God, you've really been prepping this the whole way along. So that's just a praise to God that he's ordaining all these circumstances to make this transition really sweet. As I've just been reflecting on the Village Vineyard, you know, this is a beautiful church. You know, the last couple of years we've taken some real hits on the chin, but the 11-year history is a beautiful history. And as you know, our family, we've been playing a decent amount of hooky on Sunday mornings, but the churches that we have gone to have been beautiful churches, and it's been a sweet thing. But what it's done is it's helped me realize how much I love the Village Vineyard. What a sweet church this is. I mean, just the authenticity, the love and passion for Jesus, the desire for his presence, the longing for more of God. And I found myself like, wow, I really love the Village Vineyard. You know, we have a sweet history with whether it's, you know, people living in proximity and all kinds of just wonderful things that we kind of pioneered here as a church. It was just a beautiful, beautiful season that I believe truly that God, well, let me back up. When I was walking with my buddy, I was listening to him. There was something in my buddy who had the word, he was crying in the shower. There was something in my spirit that was like, I wonder if we're supposed to take a longer break than 3 months, but I kind of just didn't want to be honest about it. But as I kind of went there, the biggest concern I had is what will happen to the Village Vineyard if I were to step down, or if I were to take a break, or if I were to step down permanently. What would that mean for the Village Vineyard? And I didn't have an answer for that. But that was a concern. It's like, I don't want to just leave the church hanging because I believe the church really has something in its future. So the Lord began to work on me, and Brad, you want to come on up? I want to kind of just unpack with you again, compress it, but last 15 minutes or so. Just kind of bring you in, and we'll be talking about this more, but how God's kind of really, this is a bizarre, wonderfully, we were driving back from Thanksgiving, and we both had the exact same feeling. He said the words I was thinking. We were just talking about, man, this transition's a trip, isn't it? He was just like, man, my head is still spinning. And I was thinking the exact same, like, our heads are spinning because what God's doing is just really wild. But none of us knew this was happening. None of us had any plans or ideas. For those of you who don't know, I've known Brad for 37 years, which is how old I am. He's my uncle. And so...
I'm not saying my age, but...
I still remember in my teens, I had a relationship with Jesus, but really wasn't going after Christ. But I still remember being so excited when Brad would be around because I loved hearing him talk about the Word. I loved hearing him just open up the Scripture and he would talk about it. And I was just this young, didn't know anything, and I just loved just soaking up the Word. And we had a friendship, but you know, I was young and he was our. I was going to say old, but he wouldn't like that.
Who said that?
But what began to happen is I began to, you know, get older and become more of an adult. We became more friends. So I still remember a summer that I spent living at his house when I was graduating from college. And just we spent some time and we began developing a friendship. But our lives pretty much for about 13 years were just more or less separate. We'd see each other on holidays and hang out. And it was good. And it was sweet. And then we came up with it about 4 years ago.
Right.
About 4 years ago, Brad shows up to the Village Vineyard, and you know, we've been going for 7 years, and I think he had come once or twice, mm-hmm. just hardly at all. And he shows up one Sunday, and basically finds himself unknowingly showing up Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. He's planning on driving to the big vineyard, Cooper Road Vineyard, and find himself just showing up here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Well, I just came to this realization as I was reflecting last night and today that my transition, like if I look back, I started, the grace, if you want to call it that, began to decrease about 3 years ago. Three and a half. I began asking questions like, I don't really want to do this, this, and this. I really see my gifting switching here. Realizing that's when Brad was really beginning to interact with the body. Now, he didn't know that. He didn't know that's what God was preparing for him. I didn't know that. What began was just a relationship. Brad started doing discipleship groups. He was doing Wednesday night Bible study and packing the third place out. And he would preach on Sunday mornings. And it was just sweet. And if he was honest, which he is, he would say, pretty much, I was here to support Joshua, which he was an incredible support. He was an incredible resource that, unknown to me, he was kind of looking for the back door for several of those years. But he felt like, you know what, I want to support my nephew. And we developed a sweet relationship, and it was an awesome thing having Brad here. Well, as things kind of started cooling down with, you know, last year we had a lot of drama and started cooling down, Brad was really starting to feel like, man, I would like to find a way to kind of exit because I feel like my time here is done. Well, he was on the board at that time and didn't want to leave me high and dry because several people had already left, and so he was just hanging tight. Well, Brian, Brad, myself, went to a Cup of Joe to have a board meeting. And in that board meeting, Brian, do you want to... All right.
Okay, so go ahead and say what you said at that board meeting.
So at the board meeting, I said, hey, guys, long story short is Nellie and I are supposed to take a sabbatical. I think it's like September, October, November, like 3 months. So I just laid out, and Brian was like, cool.
And I'm just looking at him, thinking I have a poker face on. And Brian says to me, Brad, why does it look like you just saw a ghost? And I was like, really? I thought I was just kind of poker facing that. And he goes, well, you need to work on your poker face, man. He said, it looks more like... But I said... If you're leaving for 3 months, who's supposed to be taking your place during that period of time? And Joshua kind of smiled and he said, well, I was kind of hoping you would. And I said, that's what I was afraid you'd say. And so I was really not liking that idea at all. He did not know. I was working on a way to tell him that I really wanted to leave. And so that is going the opposite direction. That's not the direction I wanted to go with this. My reason for not just leaving is because he had already dealt with so many of the leaders leaving, basically all of them. I was the only one left from the kind of original team, and I just didn't want the congregation saying, "Man, you can't even keep your own uncle here." And so I thought, how can I do that? Yeah, how can I do that without, you know, delivering a blow to him? And the reality is the reason I've been here for 4 years is because of this man. That's why I'm here. It's really the only reason I'm here. Because of my love for him, my respect for him, my knowing the calling that's on his life, the anointing that's on him. And so I kind of thought it through and I thought, well, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stand up and tell the congregation, yes, I am going. But the reason I've been here this long is because of him. I'm not leaving because of him or this church. I'm staying. The only reason I've been here is because of him. And I will come back as often as he wants me to come back to teach. And the reason I will come back is because of him. But nonetheless, I've had a very difficult time finding the connection that I've wanted in this church. And so... I had a beautiful connection, a lot of fellowship in my other church, and I'm really wanting to go back there and have that with them, etc. And also just seeing all the stuff that he'd gone through, and my doctrine, my approach to Christianity is a little bit different than the culture that's here. there's one kind of culture here. I come from a different angle. And so, you know, and oftentimes when I would teach, I would get emails about people from people in the congregation telling me how much they don't believe anything I'm saying. And so, and then all, hearing all the attacks on him constantly, all of that made it hard for me to really, like, get connected here in my heart. And I kept trying, and I kept trying, and I kept praying to God, God, give me a heart for this body. And because I really want to be here with all that I have. I want to be here with fire and energy. But the only thing that's keeping me here is my love for Joshua. There's nothing else here for me. So I was just really, really struggling. And then he says, hey, would you like to, I'd like to have you take over for this 3 months. And that's why I was just like, oh my gosh, that is exactly the opposite of what I want to be doing.
So let me say this, because we wanted to press this point, even though it could feel a little, you know, hurtful, like, wow, Brad doesn't, you know, wanted to be around here. Here's the whole point, is we're emphasizing it because we want you to know God is doing something that is beyond what we could have created. Because I remember the conversations with Brad where he just, like, he wanted to have the grace to be here and fully give himself because he's called and gifted, but he couldn't find him. He could find it enough through his love for me to stay, but I just remember him belaboring this point of, I want to go after this place, but I can't fully do it. So, unknown to me that this whole thing, he was planning on letting me down gently. I didn't know that. And then I did a sabbatical. Prior to going sabbatical, I think Peter asked, hey, man, we were in my office, my Transform office, and we were just praying. And Peter said, hey, would you just pray for us, like, while you're gone, just that God would just give us the, you know, grace that's been on you. And, you know, I was like, sure. So very uneventful, significant prayer, right? Just kind of like...
Let me step in. Previous to that, one other point that I think is kind of important is I had that shot of fear there. It only lasted for a few minutes. And then something else happened in me, and I thought, you know what? This will be good. This will be good for a couple of reasons. One, he needs the break, and I want him to have that break. And so if I take over for 3 months, that gives him the opportunity to get away, and I really like that. The other thing was I felt like, you know what? This will be a big old kick in my backside, and I need that. Because I've been able to just kind of just chill, you know. The Lord's blessed me in businesses, so I've done well financially, so I don't need to work. And so I've just been chilling, having a good time with the Lord, doing my own thing. And, you know, you get a little complacent, lazy, and I thought, I won't be able to do that. You know, it's kind of like if you used to run a marathon, and now you're just like, you know, getting sloppy and sitting around. And then someone says, by the way, you have to run the marathon for me because I broke my leg. You have to run it. And you're like, what? I'm not running a marathon. And then after a while, you're like, you know what? That's just exactly what I need. I need to have that, you know, put on me so I'll get off my duff, get into the gym, start working out again. And I kind of felt a little bit of that. And then I thought this, it's 3 months. I can do anything for 3 months. And then right after that will be winter, and that will be my time to bolt and go to South America. And I'm like, yeah, I can do this. He'll come back energized. He'll be ready to go. And maybe I can even do some good stuff in the body here. And I had some ideas of things I could do that would really, you know, bring some excellence and maybe hand him back an even healthier church. So when he comes back, he can hit it with energy. And I thought, oh, this will be good. So that's kind of where I was in my mindset. And now go with that.
So then I'm getting ready to leave. I think it's the day before I'm leaving for my sabbatical. So I just lay hands on Peter and Brad. Just pray a simple prayer. Father, just give them the, you know, grace. And Father, give Brad the leadership. And I don't even remember what I said. But it was a prayer of, you know, give him the grace that he needs while I'm gone. Unknown to me, because he didn't say it, because he didn't want to admit it. When I was praying for him, Peter didn't feel anything. But Brad literally felt like a blanket of God's presence just fall on him. And remember, from prior to that, he'd been trying to get himself to, like, love the church and be here. And then...
Yeah, for 4 years I've been asking God, God, give me a heart for this body, you know. And then when he prayed that, it literally, I physically felt something come on me. And it felt like a blanket, a heavy cloak come on me. And when I went home, I didn't say a word to him because I just honestly, I didn't want to take responsibility for it. So I'm just like, I'll just keep this between me and the Lord, you know? Because I'm still mentally, I'm not in the state. This isn't going to be a permanent thing. This is 3 months. So I hope this cloak is a 3-month deal. You know what I mean? I hope God got that expiration part in there. And it's going to expire in 3 months. So I went home, and over the next 3 days, that thing grew. And it got bigger. And it got bigger. And I remember the third day laying in bed saying, oh my gosh, God, what just happened? Because I had this overwhelming love for this body. It was a joy, an excitement. Like I was coming out of my skin with excitement for this body. And on top of that, there was this other element. It was like a protectiveness, like a papa bear. I'm going to take off the head of anybody who tries to hurt this body. I mean, I was fired up about this body. And I laid there and I thought, I've tried for 4 years to get this. And when I was not looking to get it anymore, because I've only got a 3-month deal and I'm out of here, all of a sudden I've got it so strong, and there's just no other explanation but God. Yep, but God and God's timing. It was His decision, and so that thing just kept growing. And then I found myself here, and that's when I spent, you know, a week night and day building the stage, and I started working with a children's church, and I just have all these ideas and visions just coming about what we can do with this body and just going for it. And so then I started, you know, I had to start dealing with the fact that, okay, well, I'm only doing this for 3 months, though, still. I mean, I still felt like this was only 3 months because, I mean, he's the senior pastor. He's coming back. Not, you know, there's no other, you know, thought there. But what I did think about was, I think it really has to end in 3 months, because after I'd been rolling in this place for a couple weeks, I thought, I cannot go back to that same position I was in before, where Joshua was the lead, because we just have different leadership styles. We're very different in our leadership style. And so for the last 4 years, I've had to acquiesce to his style and him doing his thing. And there's a lot of things I would do differently. So it can be very frustrating for me in that position, even though it's not right or wrong, it's just different. And so, you know, if I just was like, I can't go back to that place anymore. So I just wanted to tell Joshua that hey, when you come back in 3 months, I just want you to, I was still kind of talking about this idea that I just want you to know I'm going to need to move on at that point. I can't go back to this position where I was before. You know, if there's a problem, I'm going to address it one way, and I need to be able to address that instead of sit back and say, go talk to Joshua, you know. And so I just like, I can't do that anymore. So that's when we were sitting in that car. We had played pool with Brian and Peter. We were just out having men's night out, having a good time, shooting pool. It was about 10:30. We left. And Joshua said, hey, man, why don't you get my car? Let's just talk for like 10 minutes before we part ways. And our ruling was not to talk about, we had this policy, don't talk about church because he's on a sabbatical. So we didn't talk church the whole night. So, hey, why don't you just get my car and we'll talk for like 10 minutes and then we'll part ways. I said, all right. Well, that was at around 10 or 10:30 at night. At 3 in the morning, we're still in the car in the parking lot talking. Because I said, hey, I need to just tell you this one thing, even though it's kind of church related. I need to let you know I cannot come back to that position I was in before when you come back in 3 months. I wanted to start preparing him for that. I didn't want to hit him with that the day he came back. I wanted to mentally and emotionally start preparing for that. And so then, do you remember what you said?
Yeah. And real quick, just so people know, it's 1 o'clock. We're just going to, this is too important just to rush. So if you got to slip out, but we're going to probably take another 15 minutes or so. So just FYI. So yeah, we're in the parking lot, and he says that, and I said, well, what would you think about us switching roles? What do you think about there being kind of a reversal where you take senior pastorate? And I know that kind of threw Brad.
Yeah, I was like, what? So then we started talking about that, and that was kind of a brand new idea to me for sure. And we started talking, and that's why it went till 3 in the morning. But we both felt, not right away, but as we continued to talk, that God was really on this. Mm-hmm. And Joshua, you know, shared something with me, which is interesting, because I'd shared a similar thing with his mom about a month earlier when she was really worried about him going on the sabbatical. She's like, but Brad, I know the calling on his life. I know the calling. He's got a ministry. He's got an anointing. I've seen it my whole life. I know about his calling, and that church is his ministry, and blah, blah, blah. She's going on and on. I just said, Renee, listen, here's what I can tell you. There's no question about Joshua's call. None. But I'll tell you what I think that church is to Joshua. I think that church is a big fat elephant sitting on top of his calling. And it's keeping him from doing what he can do. Now, what I've since learned as we've talked more about it and I've understood it, that was because I only saw the last 3 or 4 years. The previous 9 before that, he was on fire here.
Seven
before that. And so, you know, I'm seeing this last part and I'm seeing that he needs to get out from under this church to be able to explode. And then he shared with me in the car when he talked about switching roles. He said, you know, Brad, when I was at the Big Vineyard, I was just exploding in my calling, my anointing. It was incredible what happened there. And that's what Rich Nathan saw on me and said, you need to have your own church. He said, but when I was there, I wasn't first seated. Eric Pickerel was the first seat. So I was able to just be me. And he said, ever since I've had this responsibility, the first seat on me, it has never been the same. And I started thinking about that. And I'm like, basically, that's the same thing I was saying to Renee. When he doesn't have that position, he's in another position, he flows. And so it started to make sense that maybe this could work if I would take the lead, because that's in my DNA. I've always been a leader my whole life. I've had many businesses. I'm basically psychologically unemployable, so I can't work for anybody. And so I do my own thing. I've always done my own thing. I mean, as a kid, you know, if I had a lemonade stand, I'd get all the kids to work for me. You know what I mean? And I've always done that. It's not like a pride thing or anything like that. It's my DNA. It's just my makeup. It's how God has wired me. I lead. And, you know, I've started many companies. I've had literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of employees over the years. And I flourish in that position. That's what I'm called to do. And so I started thinking about the idea he and I tag teaming together, and I started getting really stoked about that whole thing. So that was that. And then I'm going to just jump right into the Mark Crawford deal. Mm-hmm. About 4 days later, 3 or 4 days later, Mark Crawford, the guy he was talking about, has a prophetic ministry, very powerful ministry that he has in Australia. He's the head of a large movement there, highly respected by many churches, travels all over the United States and Australia. So he came here like 4 days after we had this conversation about switching roles. I pick him up at the airports late at night. He's staying at my house for the first time. So we get to my house. I make him dinner, and he goes to bed. We basically talked a little bit about life, didn't say word one about the church. He gets up in the morning, early, leaves, goes to have breakfast with Joshua. When he comes back from breakfast to my house again, he says, all right, Luke, I need to tell you what I told Joshua. And I said, all right. He said, I told Joshua when he returns from his sabbatical that he's not supposed to return to the same position that he was in before. I said, you told Joshua that? And he said, yes. And furthermore, I told him you're supposed to be the pastor. I was like, you told Joshua that? Yes, bloke, because that's what the Lord told me, and it's my responsibility to tell him what the Lord's telling me, and now I'm telling you. So I'm blown away, and this is just one more major confirmation that Joshua and I are getting that God is changing the guards. Mm-hmm. Not me and not Joshua. Mm-hmm. And God is speaking to this. He's making it very clear to us. So,
yeah, and there's several other things. You know, Peter had a word over the summer and didn't like the word because basically the word was there's going to be a switching of seats, and didn't really have a framework to put that in, as did none of us. Another guy in the church, Kenton, had a prophetic word. I just found out my administrator, she used to be part of this church, actually. She's still my administrator for the business. She said, I knew that you weren't... I had a conversation with her 3 months ago. And I said, hey. And she started talking about something. And she said, oh, I need to stop talking. The Lord doesn't want me to tell you that. It's like, huh. Well, last week she said, hey, do you remember when I said that to you? I said, yeah. He said, what I was going to tell you was you're not going to come back. The Lord says you're not coming back to being a pastor. I was like, wow. So there's just been several prophetic kind of, I mean, we need them and we don't need them, right? So, but they're just icing on the cake. Just the Lord saying, I am in this. I am in this. I am in this. For me, some of the most comforting, for me personally, just as the senior pastor who's handing off the church, is knowing, and this will sound weird, but it has everything to do with grace. Knowing that the grace really has been lifting for me, and not really understanding how that is, and seeing the grace come on him. It's been so comforting for me to know, like, I've spent time with Brent, so I'm hearing him talk about you, talk about the Village Vineyard, and have a love for you like what a senior pastor is to have for the church. And the reality is, this isn't Joshua's church. This isn't Brad's church. This is God's church that he chose for a season to have me be a steward, to have me lead. It was his bidding, and it was his desire to have me for a season. And that season is coming to a close. And now the season is for Brad to be your senior pastor. And I just want to say there's no question as far as for me, gifting, calling, that's not a question. But to me, honestly, that's secondary. Those are good and necessary at some level. But what's primary is heart. The heart behind the person who's leading, whatever the thing is. And I can just tell you, you know, I have a history here with Brad, obviously 37 years, and conscious probably 25 years. But this is a man of integrity that you can trust, that you can know that he goes to God. He doesn't make decisions lightly. He doesn't need the glory or the glamour or the honor or the any. He doesn't need any of that. What he wants to do is what God is telling him to do. And I've just seen that over and over and over again. And what I've loved is just watching as my, and this sounds weird, I don't mean this in a hurtful way, but as my heart has lessened in its size for the Village Vineyard, I've watched Brad's heart like increase significantly even more than my heart. It's just like God's grace has been so evident and so sweet in this transition.
We were in the car together the other day, and we were talking about this very issue that he's talking about right now, and we were like, man, this just speaks so loudly to how real the grace of God is. When Paul talks about, I am what I am by the grace of God, mm-hmm. and Jesus tells us that we are to do the things that we do in the grace of God, that's a real, tangible thing that God gives to his people to do a particular work. And how we were talking about just this reality that it is a grace of God that's on me to do this, just like he can feel the grace of God lifted. Mm-hmm. I can tell you when I'm preaching, I can tell you exactly when the anointing comes on me, and I can tell you when it lifts. I mean, literally in a second, I know when it's gone. And I've experienced that over, you know, nearly 30 years of preaching. There's been many times, and I learned it early when I was young and didn't understand that. And I knew it lifted. I could feel it, but I'm not done with my message. And I just keep preaching and keep preaching. And I could just, it was just like eating sawdust. And it just was, everyone's like, I can see the, you know, the deadness on people's faces. Like, you know, whatever, you were doing good a minute ago. I don't know what you're saying now. And I started realizing, wow, I'm useless without the anointing. And I started learning to obey that. And when the anointing stops, you'll hear me. Sometimes I'll go, I'll be like finishing a thought, but I'm not done. I'll just, that's a wrap. I'll just wrap it because I know that God says, I'm done, and therefore you should be too. And it's the same thing with the grace. There's a grace that comes on. I've experienced this many times in my life. God will call me to do a particular work, and there'll be a grace he gives me to do that work. And I can tell when the grace lifts, and it's time to wrap it up. Because God's going to move me on to something else. And, you know, you look in some churches, and churches that have been around for 100 years, what do you see? A lot of times, like in the foyer area, you'll see pictures, right, of the 10 or 15 previous pastors. just know this is how God does it a lot of times. It's not like, well, there's something wrong when a pastor shifts. There must be something really wrong. No, there's probably something really right. Mm-hmm. And that church is moving with God. And God has a man for a season. Then he moves out. He says, I have another man because I'm going to bring a new work. And I've been working in this man for 30 years. He has this work built into him. I'm going to bring him in because I want him to bring that to you now. And he's going to do that for a season. That season may be 5 years, it may be 15 years, but be assured there's going to be another work God wants to do, and he has another man prepared for that. He's going to bring that man in to do that work, or that woman in to do this work. So we need to be people who move with the Spirit of God, that we are not people, this is the way it's going to be forever, that it's a dangerous position. We should be light on our feet and moving with the Spirit of God. Jesus said, the wind comes and goes. You don't know where it's from. He says, so is the Holy Spirit. This is how the Holy Spirit moves. And we need to move with the Spirit of God and not be anxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the Lord, but... you know what? I was talking to Mark Crawford about that. You know, the prophet that spoke over us that, you know, God's telling him we should shift. And the next day I was out having ice cream with him and Peter, and it was really starting to hit me. Wait a minute. That means I probably can't go to South America. Which for those of you who don't know, I've gone there like every year for 10 years straight. And I go there for 3 months for the entire winter. And I love it there. I just love it, love it, love it. And so it has nothing to do with not liking Ohio. I've been here my whole life. I don't really like the winters in Ohio. That's all. Love Ohio, just not the winters. So I go there. And I mentioned it to Mark. I'm like, Mark, I can't like not go there for the winter. I can't be here for the winter. And he said, that's just your flesh, bloke. And I said, No, it's not a fleshy thing. This is real. Like, the sunshine and the people, and I just love the people. Bloke, that's your flesh, and you just need to die to your flesh. He just wouldn't get it. He just, it's your flesh, bloke. All right.
That's great.
So I've been kind of working on myself, going, okay, that's just my flesh. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. His grace is sufficient. Lord, I thank you for the winter grace to be upon me heavily, mightily. Oh, may I glory in the gray skies and the coldness, Lord. Yes, show me your glory for that. Praise you.
So just kind of in wrapping, a couple thoughts. One is, you know, we've obviously been journeying as a leadership, you know, with Peter and Brian and Megan and Megan. Don and Sherry, like we've been dialoguing. They've been in this process, are aware of this process, and amazingly to me, because I was really worried initially about them, how they would handle this and feel about it. And everyone has just been completely. It's almost like everyone knew before they kind of knew. I mean, for instance, we had our leaders gathering last Sunday, and I was nervous. Like, I want to share with, you know, small group leaders and worship leaders, and I said it, and it was kind of like. No one seems really shocked. And it just seemed like everyone was just really keyed in. God has been speaking, I think, either directly or indirectly to prepare hearts. And so it's,
when we mentioned it to Peter, Peter said, well, that takes me, because I knew that back in July.
Yeah.
Been waiting for you guys to get it. No.
Yeah.
You know, he got a word from the Lord back in July saying this was going to happen.
So as far as just maybe communicating process from here forward, like I'm stepping down and I'm stepping out. What that means is I'm not. We really, as a leadership team, and then as we got together with the rest of the leaders, it became really clear that we just needed to have there be a clean break, not only for me and my family's sake, but also for your sake, for the Village Vineyard's sake. So me stepping down is this Sunday was just kind of sharing the story. Next Sunday, Peter and I are going to be just ministering together. Brad's going to be at a conference in Pennsylvania. And then that following Sunday, unless we hear something from another pastor, but probably that following Sunday, the 11th, we're going to be having a commissioning ordaining service for Brad. And that'll be my last Sunday here. And that'll be kind of it for me and my family's time with the Village Vineyard. And not that, you know, obviously I'll still live in the same city and, you know, we'll still see each other probably here and there, but as it relates to being a part of this church, I'm going to be, and my family will be, as weird as it is, as weird as it sounds, we're going to be praying about where God has us. We were just announcing this to our families this last week, and someone, you know, my brother-in-law said, well, what church are you going to go to? And I was like, I don't know, you know, because we don't. I feel very much like I would assume Abraham felt, because God spoke to Abraham and said this, Abraham, I want you to leave your family and the land that you know and go to a land that you know not. It was very clear what he was to do and what he was to leave. It was very unclear of where he was to go. Well, that's...
to glory. That's straight out of the Bible. That's what God does. And that's what God is doing with Joshua. He's moving him up from a place. Everything that happened here, it will be a stepping stone for Joshua to go to another level. Mm-hmm. Tremendous experience took place, and now the Lord has something else for him, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Just because he doesn't know exactly what that is doesn't mean anything. I mean, I've been in that place many a times. And the Lord moves you from glory to glory. That's how God moves. And he's taking this body from glory to glory.
Yes.
And we're going up to another level ourselves, and it's going to be awesome.
Let me say this just about that, because it's clear for me that God's doing that, although scary. But it's also clear for me as it relates to the Village Vineyard. Over the last year, we transitioned where we really began to have a leadership team that was kind of firing like on all cylinders. It was like, wow, this is what it feels like when a team is beginning to just communicate and love and hear God and respond. And it was just, but it was kind of it didn't take on much steam because we were just working it out in the back room, so to speak. But what has become more and more obvious to me is that we, in moving forward, or I should say you, in moving forward, it's not going to be how it was in the past. Because we're moving forward, so it's a new thing that God's doing. Yeah. And so it's so obvious to me that God kind of began to birth this kind of, this team and this sweet thing. But I didn't have it. It wasn't on me to lead it into this next season. And it's so clearly on Brad. It's so clearly on him to lead the leaders that are in this church, the rest of the congregation. It's just so clear to me. It's very obvious because God has new things for the Village. And we've even sensed it as a leadership team. Like we're stepping into new things, but didn't really know that it meant I needed to step out. But that's what it meant. That was part of this thing that God's doing. So,
Don, Brian, Peter, any of you have anything you'd like to say? I want to give opportunity for that. It's okay if you don't, just wanted to... Yeah, come on up here. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Both these gentlemen are truly have a heart of the Lord. And I don't want to say anything above what they have just said because they kind of spelled out clearly that they were looking for the Lord's anointing on each one of them, and they still are. It's just a journey, just like they said. So, and we support them 100%.